should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 13, 34 and 35 out of the New Living Translation. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And the People's New Testament says, the love and self-sacrifice of Christians has done more to extend the name of Christ than arguments. And we need to understand that in everything that we do. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 in the Message Bible says, I like the Message Bible, the way it starts out, it makes it clear. It says, this is God's word on the subject. Already it's telling you, you got any other questions? Okay. This is God's word. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. How many of us have honestly felt times that God has left us? Sometimes, you know, right? God says plans. He had plans to take care of us, not to abandon us, plans to give us the future that we've hoped for. And then we realize that since God is the one with the plan, since God is the one that has it all planned out, we as his children who wants what he wants for us, we just have to do what he says. Do what he says, when he says it, and how he says it. Period. Without even thinking about it. Like God said it, we just go. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, also out of the Message Bible, God says, my people, my God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their back on their wicked lives. I'll be there ready for you. I'll listen from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land to health. From now on, I'm on alert day and night to the prayers offered at this place. Believe me, I've chosen and sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it. My heart is in it always. As for you, if you live in my presence, as your father David lived, pure in heart and action, living the life I've set out for you, attentively obedient to my guidance and judgments, then I'll back your kingly rule over Israel, make it a sure thing on a sure foundation. So God is consistently telling us, you got to do this my way. And when you do it my way, it works out exactly as I said. The problem is that when we change things, we also change the outcome. And we don't get the outcome that God wants for us because we didn't do it his way. Then we went to Leviticus 20. You can turn there. I'm just going through this part quickly. And just connecting it with what we read in 2 Chronicles. Because he'll make it a sure thing on a sure foundation, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. You'll remember what I said, and you'll do what I said. I am the Lord which sanctifies you. I am the Lord which sets you apart. I am the Lord that make everyone notice that you are mine. I'm the one that does it. And then in Exodus 30, Moses, after the children of Israel lost their minds, built the golden calf, and were doing all sorts of sinful acts, God still gave him a choice. He's like, okay, all right. I know you thought Moses was dead. I know you thought I wasn't here. But here we both are. So now everybody that's on my side, come on over. Gave them all a chance. Levites came over. Everybody else got killed. And as we talked on Sunday, they never expected that to happen. I guess they thought God would just let them go on back to Egypt and continue doing what they were doing. And we also realize that we wind up making problems for ourselves because we'll go opposite to what God said and never factor in that maybe we get caught. Maybe this thing doesn't work out properly. We never factor that in. And if you understand it the way I've come to understand it, I don't factor it in either anymore. And the reason I don't factor it in, because I don't do it. I factor in what God said, and then I don't even have to concern myself about what'll happen if I don't do it. All I need to know what God said and then do it, I'm fine. And I don't have to think about anything else. I don't understand. I say this to my wife all the time because we'll go places and we'll run into someone that ultimately knows us. And it's in the place we figure, nobody knows us here. And I always say the same thing. I don't see how folks step out on their spouse. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'm not that comfortable. I wouldn't be able to eat. Who knows? And I couldn't be. And then I couldn't go home and look. I mean, how many of you remember that program Taxi with Latka and his wife? And Latka did something once, and he came home, and he went to did like this to his wife. She said, "You did it with another woman." You know, and he was like, for what? That's a whole nother lesson when the children aren't here. But Moses said to the people after they had to go through and kill all the Levites. I'm sorry, as the Levites had to go through and kill all the other people that didn't come on God's side, Moses said to them, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he, the Lord, may bestow upon you a blessing this day." And I said, boy, that was interesting. They'd already separated themselves. So why is he telling them to separate themselves again? So I looked up that word consecrate, and in that scripture, it doesn't mean separate. It means to fill, to be full, fullness, armed with, satisfied with, complete. So Moses was saying, fill yourselves with the Lord. Fill yourselves so that he might bestow a blessing on you. Fill yourselves. And from those two, we can see we have to take time, move aside, and fill ourselves continually with the Lord. No engine keeps running without fuel. None. And what we have to stop doing is concerning ourselves with the cost of the fuel. We have to stop doing that. Because we'll think about what something means, or at least what we think it means, and we won't want to give that up. So we won't do it. I said before, you'd never do that. I did. When I started learning things here, I said, I'm learning too much, too quickly. And at this rate, God is going to give me a whole lot of responsibility. So I stopped learning. I did. I wouldn't read. I would very rarely pray because I did not want great responsibility. I wanted God to just leave me alone. I'm not out there anymore, so I'm good now. So let's just leave it like that. But no, he wanted more. And it required more. And at the time, it was more than I wanted to give, because while he wanted more for me, I didn't want more for me. And it wasn't until I just made a choice to start going with whatever he said that I started realizing that he really did have a plan, a purpose and a plan for my life. And yes, he was going to give me great responsibility. I don't run from it anymore. In 1 Peter 1, verses 13 and 16, this is out of the Expanded Bible, and it's called A Call to Holy Living. And it says, so therefore, for this reason, prepare your minds for service, prepare your minds for action or be alert. Gird the loins of your mind and have self-control, be disciplined. All your hope should be for, focus all your hope on the gift of grace that will be yours, brought, given to you when Jesus Christ is shown to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, he was shown, he was revealed, we've received him. Now that you are as or like obedient children of God, children, do not live as you did in the past. You did not understand, so you did the evil things you wanted. Do not be shaped by the desires, lusts of your former ignorance, but be holy in all you do. Your behavior, conduct, just as God, the one who called you, is holy. For because it is written in the scriptures, you must be holy because I am holy. It says we must be holy in all that we do. Think about all that you do throughout the course of a day. Every inch of it has to be holy. Everything. Even the way you brush your teeth, holy. How do you do that? Well, how are we taught to brush our teeth? Do it that way. I mean, everything. You say, that's silly, Pastor Carter. No, and all that you do means all that you do, you have to be holy. And it's not hard.
That was easy.
Right? Because that's what we have to, whatever God says, this is easy. This is easy. We're going to see in a few minutes because it's easy because he's got it. And we have to understand the world we live in. I've driven around. Believe it or not, Pastor Ed and I, we don't stay locked up in our office or in this building. You know, we have a life, all right, outside of this place. And we go places. And we see the same billboards that you see. We see the same ads on the buses and the tops of the cabs. And we see how people dress and speak and act. And we see glimpses of some of the things that they show on television. We see it. But we also have to realize Jesus said, you're in this world, but you're not of this world. So we don't look at what the world's doing and come to the conclusion, well, I might as well fit in here because God knows it's impossible to be holy in this environment. Now, come on. That's what God is saying. He's like, come on now. I'm in you. How can you do this and I'm in you? I know why I sent you. And yes, you can do this if you want to. And that's the key. We'll use things as an excuse. Have we forgotten Matthew? Turn to it, Matthew 16. I want to share this out of the Amplified Bible. We're going to start with verse 16. In Matthew 16. It's when Jesus said, "Who do men say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered him, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah? For flesh and blood, men, have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Jesus said, you're my church. And there isn't anything on this planet more powerful than you. That's all he was saying. So what difference does it make what our environment is if we walk around like acting like we really believe Jesus is the Christ? And we've seemed to have forgotten something Jesus said. You will have whatsoever you say. So if we walk around saying, this neighborhood is terrible, what are we going to have? If we walk around saying, these ungodly people on my job, what are we going to have? If we walk around saying, this is hard to live like a Christian, what's it going to be? Because that's what we say, and we're going to have what we say. So if we don't believe that we can live a sanctified, consecrated life, we won't, even though we are empowered by God to do so. But if we don't believe it, we won't do it. And we'll use every other excuse to keep from doing it. But go to Deuteronomy 30. And I'm going to read first verses 11 to 14. The Amplified Bible. Listen to what God says about what he says. For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not too difficult for you. Nor is it far off. It is not a secret laid up in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it? But the word of God is very near you, in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart, so that you can do it. That's what God says about it. He says, my commandments are not hard. They're in your mouth, in your mind, in your heart, that you can do them. Some translations say it's not too hard, or it's not hard to do. But one of the things that thoughts had just popped in, if we're believing that it's too hard, maybe it's because we don't have them in our mind and in our heart and in our mouth. Because that's what the scriptures say. It's very near you. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. So if it's in your mouth, it comes out of your mouth. And because we have what we say, it's not hard to do. We just do it. But let's look at why he said that. And to do that, we're going to move up and go from verse 6 to 10. And the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your being, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses upon your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in every work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, of your cattle, of your land, for good. For the Lord will again delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. Verse 10 is key. If you obey, say obey. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with all your being. See, these folks weren't living in a perfect world either. And there was stuff going on. And God said, this is what you, my people, are to do. You obey my commandments, I prosper you. And he knew what he was saying, and he knew the times that they were in, and so he just added for their benefit. He said to them, the commandment that I'm giving you is not too hard for you. And I'm sure that was a relief, because it would have been to me, and I'm like, man, God's asking me to do all of that. He's like, son, it's not too hard. Okay. All right. God says it's not hard. It's not hard. I can do this thing. Thank you, God. But we have to have that mindset. No matter what God says, our attitude is,
that was easy.
It has to be. Let me tell you something. How many of you enjoy, absolutely enjoy, 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzles? I don't see any hands. Nobody. So if someone gave you a 5,000 piece jigsaw puzzle and said, put this together, what's probably one of the first things you're going to think? It's too hard. Okay. It's too hard. Is it that you don't have the ability to do it? It's because you don't want to do it. Okay. Because if you are a puzzle aficionado, and the more pieces, the more excited you get, you're like, bring it on. Yes, you don't care how long it takes, you're putting this thing together, and you're enjoying every moment of it. Because you like it. You want to do it. And because you want to do it, guess what? It's no longer hard. Now it's easy. It's simple. So the question becomes, for us, husbands, why do we find it hard to love our wives the way Christ loves the church? Wives, why do you find it hard to submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord? They're both commandments, and God said, it's not hard to do. If it's in your mind to do it, if it's in your heart to do it, and if you're saying you can do it, we would do it. And it's like that with everything that he says. But if we don't want to do it, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And Jesus had a don't want to moment. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he got it settled. Because he didn't have this long list to God as to why he didn't want to do it. He didn't even let the word, I don't want to do it, come out of his mouth. He said, well, if there's another way. But if not, your will, not my will. And he said it three times because he needed three times. And not once have I read where he complained about it on the way. Didn't care. This is what God wanted him to do. And he knew it long before Gethsemane. He knew it long before then. We read it in Isaiah. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. And he didn't go through his life, man, that's going to be hard. I got to wait a minute now. You mean to tell me I create this world, put all these people here, and now I got to go and be in subjection to them and put up with all the stuff they're going to do to them and then die for them and they're not even going to appreciate it? No, that's too hard, Father. No. Send your other son. Oh, that's right. You don't have one. Okay. He's like, oh, I'll create one for you. Okay. No, see, be ye holy. Sanctify yourself. Fill yourself with God. All the same thing. You have to have a mindset that that's what you want to do because God said it. Then it becomes easy. How hard is it, do you think, you live in the apartment building and you live on the 14th floor, but you come home, you don't take the elevator. You run up the steps. Every day. You just run up the steps. And your neighbors say, what? Why do you run up the steps? They get upset if the elevator's broken, they have to go up one flight. You run up the steps and you look forward to it. As a matter of fact, just to exercise, you run up the steps. You want to get in shape. You enjoy doing it. It's exercise that you like. You don't find it hard. I would run anyone from Queens, Reese Beach. That's around Beach 160th Street. I lived on Beach 40th Street. I take the bus to Reese Park, run back home in the beach sand next to the boardwalk. It wasn't hard. It was easy. Why? Someone offered me a contract. I wanted to make sure I was in shape. And then when I got home from the run, I ran up to the 12th floor, took the elevator down, ran back up to the 12th floor, took the elevator down, ran back up to the 12th floor, took the elevator down. I did it until I felt like my heart was going to explode, and then I did it once more and stopped. Every day. It was easy. I wanted to do it. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. Because I wanted to do it. God said, live holy. I found it difficult. You know why? I didn't want to do it. And the main reason, honestly, why I didn't want to do it? Because I know the comments that I used to make about people like I've become. Okay. And I saw what some of them went through. And my attitude is, anybody get in my face like that, I'm either going to leave shoeless or with one less fist. But I wasn't going to stand there and take it. And I couldn't do that if I was like one of my sisters said, if I was all churchified. That's what she said. I couldn't do that. And I'm like, okay, God, I won't do all the, you know, the really reprehensible stuff. I'll leave that alone. But don't let anybody get in my face, because I'm not that saved. And so I would only go but so far initially. But then I realized something. When you take on that attitude, you really can't pick and choose when you're going to let that side of you come up. It just comes up. Remember what I said before, things happen that you don't expect? Well, it came up in a way that I didn't expect. And I realize this is not a good thing to keep. I need to let it all go. And that's what we have to do. We have to let it all go so that we can really live this life the way God wants us to live it, and he wants us to live it holy. He wants us to live it filled with him. So that means we're going to have to take time and spend it filling ourselves with God. And as we do that, something happens. We start developing a craving for God. I like the way God's Word translation ends verse 14 in Deuteronomy 30. It says, no, these words are very near you. They are in your mouth. They are in your heart, so you will obey them. That's what it says. They have to be in our hearts, in our mouths. We'll obey them. Everything becomes easy. And easy, very, very simple word. What does easy mean? You tell me. Right? Not hard, not difficult. No great labor. Look at this one. Free from pain. Free from pain. See, now, that doesn't necessarily mean pain doesn't show up. All right. First time I took the run from Reese Beach back to home, just Beach 40th Street, or actually Beach 41st Street, my legs were telling me about pain. I was ignoring it because I wanted to do this. Pain wasn't going to stop me. Pain wasn't going to stop me. I started visualizing things. I would see myself playing. I would see myself not getting tired. I would see myself wearing other people down. And that's what I experienced. Because my body was in shape. Because I didn't care. It was easy. It means comfortable. And I know it's like sometimes, you know, all right, fine, we have to get, just because you have to get out of your comfort zone, that doesn't mean you have to be uncomfortable when you do it. Because being uncomfortable is really a state of mind. If you like what you're doing, guess what? You're comfortable. If you don't like it, it's uncomfortable to have to do it. It's uncomfortable. I had to write something once that it was uncomfortable to write it. Why? Because I didn't enjoy it. It's not something I look forward to doing. But it was something that I had to do. But if I like living a holy life, no matter what it requires, it's never going to make me uncomfortable. Because I know who I am, I know whose I am, I know what's available to me, I know the benefits of doing what he said. Why would I be uncomfortable? Because he sends me into a neighborhood that's unfamiliar? Because I have to say something to someone that might not receive it? What's going to happen to them if I don't say it? What's going to happen to me if I don't say it? So when you start thinking about those things, I look at synonyms. Tranquil. You can be in a tranquil state of mind doing everything God told you to do. Untroubled. Smooth. I like that one. Being holy. Smooth. Not bumpy. Remember what we read in Jeremiah 29? God said he knows what he's doing. He has it all planned out. That should really be enough. Because if he has it all planned out, that means there isn't one part that I'm going to go through that God hasn't thought about and already handled. I just have to keep doing what he said. So when you think about it, who has the easy part? Me. You. God has the one to work everything out in the spirit realm, so we just keep moving through effortlessly. Remember, go to Exodus 12. We're going to look at a couple of things about the Israelites when they came out of bondage. when God delivered them. For the most part, I think I'm going to be in a Message Bible. Exodus 12. First, I'm going to ask you a question before we read the sections we're going to read. How hard was it for the Israelites to leave captivity? Okay, let's find out. All right. They'd been in captivity for 430 years, 460 years in captivity. And now God gets Pharaoh to the point where he tells them, go. Begin in verse 31, Message Bible. Pharaoh called in Moses and Aaron that very night and said, get out of here and be done with you. You and your Israelites, go worship God on your own terms. And yes, take your sheep and cattle as you've insisted, but go and bless me. Okay. Verse 33. The Egyptians couldn't wait to get rid of them. They pushed them to hurry up, saying, we're all but as good as dead. The people grabbed their bread, the Israelites, they grabbed their bread dough before it had risen, bundled their bread bowls in their cloaks, threw them over their shoulders. The Israelites had already done what Moses had told them. Listen to this. They had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold things and clothing. God saw to it that the Egyptians liked the people and so readily gave them what they asked for. Oh yes, they picked those Egyptians clean. Okay. Some other translations say they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. Some say they spoiled them. Spoil is something you collect after a battle. So how hard was it for the Egyptians to have to leave Egypt? It wasn't hard at all, because God already took care of it. God had the Egyptians give the people that they loathed, that they looked upon as slaves for over 400 years, God had them give away their wealth to them. And all they had to do was walk away and leave. That's it. That's it. It was that easy. But now they need protection and guidance. How hard was that? Two verses, 20 and 21. Exodus 13. The Lord went before them by day in the pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So they didn't even have to think about where they had to go. All they had to do was follow the pillars. That's it. Easy. Easy. Been in Egypt 400 years. Now they're outside in new surroundings, new lands. Don't know where to go. Don't even know where they're going. But God just guided them. But now comes the test. Pharaoh's army comes. It says he took his 600 chariots plus his chariots. I'm like, there are more than 600 chariots coming down on the Israelites. How hard was it? Because they had to cross the Red Sea. They didn't know. How hard was it for them to get away from the Israel, from Pharaoh's army? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. You have the entire Israeli army coming at you. You can see them. You can hear them. And God says, stand still. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Remember that phrase. And ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So all Moses did was take his staff, stretch it out, the sea parts. And they walk through, not on, now the sea just parted, but it said you're going to walk through on dry ground. You're not going to walk and your sandals get stuck in the mud. And you, no, went walk through. Didn't say run across. You know, take what you see in the movie out of your head. Said you will walk through on dry land. How easy is that? Verse 22. Because you still have Pharaoh's army coming after you. The Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with the waters a wall to the right and to the left. Imagine that. You know, they'd be critters in the water. Okay. Can you imagine a shark trying to get through? Coming at you, and you're just walking by. The Egyptians came after them in full pursuit. That means they're moving as fast as they can. Every horse and chariot and driver of Pharaoh racing into the middle of the sea. It was now the morning watch. See, this wasn't a 15-minute stroll, folks. It took them the better part of a whole day to get across the Red Sea. All right? But watch this now. God looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud on the Egyptian army and threw them into a panic. He clogged the wheels of their chariots. They were stuck in the mud. The Israelites walked over on dry land. Pharaoh's army got stuck in the mud. Okay. The Egyptians said, run from Israel. Now, Israel wasn't chasing them. Okay. The Israelites are walking in the opposite direction. You're chasing them, and all of a sudden you realize, I better run away from them. Remember God said, the Lord will fight for you? Pharaoh's army said, run from Israel. God is fighting on their side and against Egypt. How'd they know that? Because all of a sudden, they see the Israeli people walking. They see their little ragtag carts rolling freely. Their golden, beautifully sculpted chariots and their mighty horse, they're getting stuck in the mud. But again, they're saying run, but they're not running away because if they ran back, they'd get killed. Okay? Me, it's like, I'll take my chance fighting you, Pharaoh, because I can't tread water this long. Okay? God said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters will come back over the Egyptians, over the chariots, over their horsemen. Moses stretched his hand out over the sea as the day broke, and the Egyptians were running. The sea returned to its place as before. God dumped the Egyptians in the middle of the sea. The waters returned, drowning the chariots and riders of Pharaoh's armies that had chased after Israel into the sea. Not one of them survived. And I saw something that I never saw before. Look what it says next. While that was going on, show you how big this sea was. It says, but the Israelites walked right through the middle of the sea on dry ground. Now, it just says God returned it, okay? But everywhere, wherever the last Israelite was, right behind him was the normal sea. In front of him, dry ground. All you have to do is keep walking in the direction God sent you. Imagine what would happen if one of them turned around to go back. One of them said, I'm tired of this. We've been walking all night. I'm going back. You know. Okay. Need to think about that. The Israelites walked right through the middle of the sea on dry ground. The waters forming a wall to the right and to the left. God delivered Israel that day from the oppression of the Egyptians. Because God said,
that was easy.
That was it. What did the Israelites have to do? Obey what God said. They had to go where he told them to go. And who took care of it? He did. All they had to do was walk. It was that easy. How do you take out a fortified city? You're going up against a city that's well fortified. How do you take it out? God said, walk around it and don't say a word. And you say, that's just stupid. You want me to walk around? It's like, God, come on. Let me tell you about Battle 101, okay? The first thing they put on the walls, God, are archers, okay? Like, who does this guy think he is? And the reason they do that, God, is because when they see you, they kill you. And you're saying, walk around the wall. And God said, no, I'm going to give you a strategy. I'm going to tell you when to shout. And then when you shout, the walls are going to fall down, and you just go right in, right. Now that's just silly. Come on. Who ever heard of that? But those soldiers, this is what God said. This is what we're going to do. Forget everything that they were trained, just like in a teachable moment. Forget what the normal routine is. Okay, you don't send the people in to take the guys out on the wall first. Forget all of that. Throw it out. Walk around the wall. When I say shout, shout. They did. The wall fell down. They went in.
That was easy.
Because they did what God said. The way God said, and they did it when God said. And they picked up the spoils. God said, we're moving over into what they're soon going to be calling the shops at Nanuet. God said, we're taking over that mall, and the first building will be the Sears building. Too many of us try and figure out how that's going to happen. We look at the construction, building a nice supermarket and all that stuff. Okay, how many of you have to eat? Okay, so if God wants us to have a supermarket in our complex, it won't bother me one bit. And what if he doesn't? Who cares what they call it? What they call it? What did God call it? The new home of Redeeming Love Christian Center. And our attitude needs to be,
that was easy.
Because we're going to do what God said, how he said, and when he says. We're not moving in there tomorrow because he didn't say go tomorrow. But when he says go, guess where we're going? You can come here if you want to, but we won't be here. We'll be like, well, like they used to say about it, we'll be like Elvis because he really left. But we leave in the building. Okay? We're leaving the building because God said so. And it's going to require us to be holy. It's going to require us to sanctify ourselves, to set aside and fill ourselves and keep ourselves filled with God. Why is that so important? So that we remain ultra sensitive to everything that he says. When he says move, no matter how softly he speaks, we have to hear it. Not with these ears, we have to hear it in our spirits. And if we're not filled 100% with him, we're going to hear other things. And we'll miss it when God says go. We'll miss it. We'll miss it when he says stop. We'll miss it when he says turn. We'll miss it when he says call this person. See, we're doing something that we've never done. We're allowing another church from another denomination to have a funeral service here for their bishop on Saturday. Why? God said so. Friday he had us push out the walls and call the people in. Sunday he sends a pastor here, makes a request. Sunday. We don't know what's going to become of that. All we know, God said do it. So we're doing it. And we're not bringing them in and going to preach the gospel to them and get, no, that's not why they're coming. We're going to use the facility. They're going to have the service for their bishop for 46 years. I think it was 46 years. Went to sleep. And we'll see what God's going to do with it. We don't know. But if, since we are Spirit Center for the Nations, since we are the focal point of spiritual activity in this region, well, there is a need. We have a means to meet the need. So why not meet it? Especially when God says so. We have to be sensitive to those types of things. If we were filled with other stuff, we wouldn't have been sensitive. If we were locked into tradition, we wouldn't have even considered it. It would have been, no. Why? We never do. We wouldn't have even given God a chance. No, we don't do that. And if we're going to do it with anybody, we're going to do it for people that at least preach the same thing we preach. How do we know that? Because we know them? If we're here or in Pennsylvania on Sundays, how do we know what anybody's preaching anywhere else? We don't know. We don't know what they're saying. And if you read some of the comments, you see some of them say on Facebook, you could really wonder. But the point is, folks, God has already taken care of everything. He's already paid every price that has to be paid. He's already paid everything. Everything. Everything that needs to be, you know, repositioned, redesigned, recreated, whatever has to happen, he's already taken care of it. And then he tells us, he sends us in a direction he wants us to go so we can achieve what he said. And he gives us directions on how we're to conduct ourselves along the way. And he expects us to do it. And he said, be holy as I am holy. So you think about God's holiness and you're to conduct yourself the same way. That's what it means. I'm going to unhook, but I want to read I want to read that scripture once more, paraphrased based on the Message Bible. We know that this commandment that God is commanding us today isn't too much for us. It's not out of our reach. It's not on a high mountain. We don't have to get mountaineers to climb the peak and bring it down to our level and explain it before we can live it. It's not across the ocean. We don't have to send sailors out to get it, bring it back, and then explain it before we can live it. No. The word is right here and now. As near as the tongue in our mouth, as near as the heart in our chest, just do it. And watch how conditions will change worldwide. I'm going to unhook. We have to stop placing hard next to the things God has asked us to do. It's not hard. He said so. If you say it's hard, you're calling God a liar. Because he said, what I command you is not too hard. It's not too difficult. It's right there in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth. You can do it. Just have to want to. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And Lord, while we have a glimpse of where you're taking us, we don't know the how. And really, when we think about it, how doesn't matter. All that matters is you said you're doing it. So, and we've committed to go along with whatever you say. Father, we're going to move when you tell us to move. We're going to stop when you tell us to stop. We're going to speak when you tell us to speak. Period. And we don't care what it takes. We're going to do whatever is necessary. Whatever we have to do, Father, we're going to do so that we can just sanctify ourselves and fill ourselves up with you and then make sure we stay filled, because we don't want to miss any of your instructions. Father, may we always, always clearly hear your voice. And as I think about it, Father, we have that assurance because we are your sheep. And your sheep hear your voice. Your sheep run from the voice of a stranger. And that's what we'll do. When the enemy speaks, we're running from it. We're not running towards it any longer. We are running from it, and we're running towards you. And we're careful. We're careful to make sure, we're very mindful to make sure that we only move in the direction you point us. We only release the words that you tell us to release in every situation. Father, we're not even going to utter your scripture, which is the word, unless you tell us to, because it may not be the word for the situation. Yes, Lord, we understand that we need to have that type of detail in our lives. You are a precise and accurate God. And as your children, we must be just as accurate, just as precise in everything we do. We thank you, Lord, that as we move from this place tonight, your Holy Ghost will keep illuminating to us the directions that we're supposed to go, reminding us that we need to refill, refuel, and every prompting that we get, we'll respond in kind and do it. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.